Hi, this is Jean-Paul Baron, President of Focus on the Family Canada. We're thrilled to introduce The Thriving Family, a new Focus on the Family Canada podcast, packed with meaningful content from a Canadian perspective. You'll hear thought-provoking commentary and powerful interviews with a heart to encourage and inspire. It's where family, faith, and culture intersect, and it's 100% ad-free thanks to generous donors. Listen to The Thriving Family on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. Just look for the Maple Leaf.
I thought I used to worry when my kids were little, and then I had teenagers? Oh my.
I never realized how annoying I was until I gave birth to a mini-me and started arguing with her as a preteen.
The scariest part of raising teens is remembering all the dumb things I did at that age.
Well, every parent of a teenager can probably relate to those comments. And if you've got a preteen growing up in your family, get ready. Welcome to Focus on the Family with Jim Daly. I'm John Fuller, and we're so glad you've joined us today.
You know, John, we have so much great content for parents of littles, parents of preteens, parents of teens, and man, there is some good stuff. But it takes a little bit of getting used to in that parenting role to know where to go, what do I do? I mean, it's preteens are a tough moment, too.
There are challenges around every corner, it seems.
Yeah. I remember first day of school. What was your first day of school like? Were you gung-ho as a kindergartner? I wouldn't go.
Really?
I didn't want to go.
What was the reluctance?
I liked home.
Okay. Well, I was a firstborn who wanted to go out into the world and conquer the little mat and the chocolate milk we had.
You liked the chocolate milk.
I did, yeah.
Well, we haven't talked a lot about those in-between kids, but we're going to do that today, the 9 to 12-year-old space. They're not little kids anymore. They're kind of beginning to get their independence and find their way. And, you know, a lot of parents, it's time to buckle up because the teens are around the corner and they're really going to stretch the independence at that point. But it's a good thing. It's a God-given thing. And they're trying to figure out who am I and what's my identity. So this is a time for the parents to really put the pedal down and help them to find their identity.
Mm-hmm. And we have two great guests to help us do that today. Tricia Goyer and Leslie Nunnery have a lot of experience between the two. Tricia has been on this program a number of times. She's a speaker and author and podcast host and has 10 kids. So Tricia has raised several preteens along the way. She speaks with experience and authority. And Leslie is also an author and a speaker and is the co-founder of Teach Them Diligently, which provides gospel-centered homeschooling events and resources and has 4 children. And together, these ladies have written a book that is so good. It's got lots of great insights. It's called Faith That Sticks, 5 Real-Life Ways to Disciple Your Preteen. And we've got copies of that book, of course, here at the ministry. Call 800, the letter A and the word family, or stop by focusonthefamily.ca.
Tricia, welcome back. And Leslie, welcome for the first time.
Well, thank you
so
much.
Thank you for having us.
Good to have you here. Okay, let's get right into it. Preteen, it's kind of the eye-rolling moment of parenting where the kids are going, puh, whatever. Mm. I remember Troy, he wasn't doing this disrespectfully because he was being kind of playful when he did it. I said, hey, can you get the garbage and take it out? And he goes, for those on YouTube, you can see it's like the W with your fingers and then E, whatever. And I was like, yeah, that's not going to fly.
Exactly. A little bit of attitude.
But it is, I mean, it was done and fun and I loved it. But this is the point where you get the snorts and the grunts and the puh, huh, shh, wah, right?
Absolutely. And they go from like sometimes these sweet little kids that love being around you and just want you to read stories to them. And suddenly they're rolling their eyes and you don't know what you're talking about and you're not cool anymore. And drop me off and I will walk to the front door because they don't want you to get too close to the building so people will see you.
Drop me off a block from school.
Yeah, a block from school or a block from wherever, youth group, wherever they're at.
Because now, I would be the parent to go, oh, okay, boom, right up to the curb, beeping the horn, putting the windshield wipers on.
It depends on the day. Sometimes I'm like rolling down the window, bye, honey, I love you.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of it. And a lot of growth happens during those preteen years. I mean, it is a transition phase. Mm-hmm. I remember, you know, this is maybe a little off balance. That's where you notice your first chest hair, maybe, or, you know, something weird is happening to your mm-hmm. body. It's the start of becoming a young adult, right? Mm-hmm. Describe what's going on for these 9 to 12 year olds.
Oh, there is, you know, there's so much development that's going on at this time. And a lot of it is not really what us as parents would expect. We talk a lot about the hormones and the body changes and stuff like that. But the most impactful part of their development during this time is actually what's going on in their brain. Hmm. They have two really important things happening. Number one, their limbic system, which, you know, everyone knows about the limbic system, right?
Yes,
absolutely.
I'm not even going to guess. Yeah.
The limbic system is responsible for the emotional charges that they get, the reactions, and like all of this stuff.
That thing's on overdrive.
It is in overdrive during this time. So you've got that happening. But then their prefrontal cortex, part of their brain, that really helps them...
Judgment.
Yes. Manage those emotions, manage those reactions. That's just getting started, and it won't be developed until they're in their 20s. So you've got the limbic ramping up. So you've got high emotions, anger. You know, you've seen it. We see what's going on with the limbic system, but we don't see anything happening with the rationale, the judgment. That's not coming along yet. So we see this in our kids, and it really, I think, makes a lot of parents very fearful because you don't know what has eaten this sweet little child and turned them into this really reactionary preteen.
That's a good observation. But knowing it going in as a parent is really important to know that
absolutely
these are the things that are going to be happening and be ready for it, so you're not working out of your limbic system.
Well, exactly. This was the one thing that I really wish that I had known when my kids were younger, because I feel like, you know, in 1 Peter 3, where it tells husbands to live with wives with understanding, I think as parents, we need to do that with our kids as well.
That's a good point.
And so getting to know what's really going on with them during this stage of their development will help you parent them so much better.
It's good. Now, on top of that, let's throw in social media.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just for fun. Absolutely. Tricia, this is such a, you know, it's probably the number one parenting issue that we get contacted mm-hmm. here at Focus on the Family to get input on. How do you manage that as a parent? What are your observations?
It's so difficult because my oldest is 36. My youngest is 14. So I feel like I've raised two different generations of children.
Yeah.
So the first set, they were finally kind of getting into my space, but it was very, you're kind of on it, but it wasn't controlling your life. You weren't aware of everyone all the time. And these younger kids, even if we hold off, so they can't even get cell phones until they're 14 and they can only communicate with us. Social media comes at 15, but we're monitoring everything. And that's just choices for our family. Every family has different choices.
Yeah.
But everywhere
it's good to delay it as long as possible.
Absolutely.
That's
everywhere
good.
They go, whether it's at church, at camp, at homeschool co-ops, people are just so connected on social media or with cell phones or with texting that they never get a time to escape and just really figure out who they are, because they're just comparing themselves to other people. And then there's predators and all those types of things. And so it's really hard. And this generation truly is harder than even the previous generation. I know, because I've had kids in both.
Yeah.
And I really am sympathetic for today's parents that are trying to juggle all this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This idea of identity is so critical. I mean, as Christians, that's one of the core things. In preteen and certainly teen, they're developing a sense of identity, who they are, what they believe, etc. The goal for us as Christian parents, obviously, is to pass that faith on to the next generation. They've got to eventually embrace that for themselves, etc. We know those journeys can be all different. Some kids fall right into that spot where they're very comfortable with their Christian faith, etc., and they do well. Then you have others that test the system and test whether or not they really believe that. But these core things are being developed. Your daughter, I think, as a preteen, had a volleyball experience. What happened with that?
Yeah, my youngest daughter actually has taught me a lot through the years. But she had a lot of benefits of being the youngest of four. So she got to learn all the things much earlier. And so by the time she was playing volleyball in 6th, 7th, 8th grade in that middle school era, she was way ahead of where everyone else was and got all the accolades and all the, you know, cheers and that sort of thing. And that really, I didn't realize it at the time until we talked when she was a little older, but that had become just very much her identity. That's how she saw herself. And she will tell you now that had become an idol to her. That was all she cared about. And one day towards the middle of the season, they were doing warm-ups. It was just a freak accident. She broke her finger and was out for the rest of that season. And I mean, she was devastated, just absolutely devastated. And it was largely because, as she told me later on, she didn't know who she was going to be if she couldn't be out there on the volleyball court. Mm-hmm. And she's, in hindsight, she was very grateful for that, because that broke that. That wasn't her identity anymore. She had to figure out who she really was. And she realized through all of that, again, to her own, this is her own testimony that I'm sharing, she realized who she was in Christ instead of just looking at who she was on the court. And God used that to teach her a pretty amazing lesson as a seventh grader. But that's really indicative of how easy it is to get wrapped up in what others see of you and what others think of you during that time, because that's really all you've got.
You know, you've written a book now, Faith That Sticks. So parents are going, okay, how do you make it stick?
Yeah.
In that regard, Tricia, I mean, in those areas of identity, what are some things you can do to say, okay, this will help my child better understand why they were created?
Yeah.
And you begin planting those seeds at about that age, because they're cognitively capable of understanding these things now.
And that's the important part. We need to take time for these things. And the things we talk about are Bible reading and prayer and relationships and conversations and then community service. And some of our kids we adopted as preteens. So one was 11, and then we had 13-year-old twins and a 15-year-old. So we were getting them from their identity of first being in foster care, then
unworthy,
and they had had a failed adoption right before us. And, you know, then all of a sudden, homeschooling mom, we're going to sit around and read the Bible. And they're like, what are you doing? But they had come kind of with their identity formed that they aren't worth anything, that people have passed them over again and again. And as we sat there and read God's word, and at first they would, I'm like, just put your heads down. You just have to listen. You don't have to interact. Pretty soon they started getting engaged with God's word and realizing that God had a purpose for them, a plan for them. And it was so amazing to see that God's word was that seed that really made them see who they are and how important they were. They were in the bigger plan of things. And I think so many times we think during the age they don't want to. They don't want to sit there and do family devotions. They don't want to sit there and do a Bible study or pray with their family. This is so dumb. Why would I have to do this? But if we're diligent, those seeds will take root as they get older. And we've seen that in our girls' lives.
Wow, that's a great concept. Read the word over your kids.
Yeah.
You know, and it doesn't have to be in a tough way. Troy, my youngest, is still into it. I mean, we could say, hey, you want to just read the word tonight? And we're right now going through Galatians. Mm-hmm. But he's really into it. Trent, a little more active. Yeah, maybe later, Dad. I mean, you know, so just kind of the two different perspectives. Yeah. But as a parent, just do it. I mean, because it is so good for them to hear that identity, especially those areas of the New Testament where God is speaking love over them and his unconditional love for them. I mean, what preteen teen doesn't want to hear that? Absolutely. God really unconditionally loves me?
And relating to people in the Bible. So we were reading through the Psalms, and, you know, David is so emotional. I am but a worm, not a man. And I am in
quite
the
emotional.
Pit. And I'm like, see, he's emo too.
Yeah.
Like, look, it's just like you guys, when you're rolling your eyes, and this is the worst day ever. David wrote it down, but then at the end, he's like, but I will praise God. And they would just laugh. And so kind of seeing that people in the Bible were real. Mm. Their emotions were real. That they don't have to hide their emotions. They're going to be emotional.
Yep.
But they can also see that God is there, and they can turn to him, even though I feel like I'm in the darkest pit right now, which some of them battled depression. I mean, there's so many things in their past. They can still turn to God.
Yeah.
And it really made
That's
a difference.
One of the things I've heard, you know, several people say that when I read the word, I saw myself there. Mm-hmm. The little prevarications, the things you're doing that aren't pleasing the Lord, et cetera. Leslie, in fact, you shared a story about your son having kind of an emotional moment as a preteen where he felt a lot of pressure. I think Troy had that moment as well where he thought he could only make A's. Mm-hmm. And I remember just saying to him, you know, it's okay if you don't make an A. And he exhaled and said, really? Mm-hmm. I went, oh, of course. I mean, we want to aim for doing great work, but if you get a B, or C. I mean, I get it. And we'll work together to strengthen that. But, you know, let's just don't feel you have to do that. And it really, you know, changed his perspective in the area of stress.
Yeah. Well, you know, our kids, like we were talking about earlier, there's so much changing. They are becoming aware of people outside of themselves, which you know, they really didn't have that kind of awareness when they were much younger. And so, when I saw a lot with my boys, I think I just wasn't expecting the emotions that pour out of preteen boys, because I've never was one, didn't have a brother. Yeah. So that kind of shocked me more. But there was one time when my son, I caught him red-handed with something in a lie. He just broke down and why I'm so wicked and evil and just, you know, so just the guilt. And so many parents talk about how their preteens struggle with such guilt. And it really just broke my heart. And I was able to sit down and talk to him at the time about just different things that were going on inside of him and how Jesus loves him anyway. And I thought as I walked away from there, how grateful I am that I was the one who was able in his emotional state when he was so unsettled and so vulnerable, I was able to get in closer to him, wrap my arms around him, reassure him of my love, his place in our family, and most importantly, that he is fearfully and wonderfully made and that God knows and loves him. Mm-hmm. So when parents withdraw during this stage of their kids' life because of all the things we talked about earlier, you know, the kids don't want us around and blah, 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 when we withdraw, we're really opening the door for someone else to speak into their life instead of taking that opportunity that God has given us and using that platform, which is so powerful in this stage.
Yeah, that's a really great reminder. We've got to lean in. This is Focus on the Family with Jim Daly, and we're talking today with Tricia Goyer and Leslie Nunnery about this fragile time in life. We all made it through. If you've got a preteen, you need to get a copy of their book, Faith That Sticks, 5 Real Life Ways to Disciple Your Preteen. It's terrific, and we've got it here at the ministry, and you'll find it at focusonthefamily.ca. We'll be right back after this.
Parlez-vous français, or know anyone who does? At Focus on the Family Canada, we have a ministry dedicated to French-speaking families. Sign up for our free Focus Famille magazine today to receive marriage and parenting advice grounded in biblical truth. Visit our website, focusfamille.ca, for more resources in French. That's focus, FAMILLE.ca. Rendez-vous sur notre site focusfamille.ca et abonnez-vous à notre magazine gratuit. À bientôt!
This is the sound of the staff here at Focus on the Family Canada every weekday morning at 9 a.m., petitioning God for those with crisis in their marriage, for those who want to become better parents, and those who are lifting up loved ones to the hope that one day they will know the salvation that Christ has to offer. We'd love to hear from you too. Call us today with your prayer requests at 1-800-A-FAMILY or email us at prayer@fotf.ca.
Focus on the Family Canada wants to help couples on their path to a stronger marriage. Journey to Us marriage retreats and conferences provide a proven program that has helped thousands of couples strengthen and even save their marriages. Our trained marriage speakers are equipping couples across Canada to navigate the path to a stronger, healthier, more fulfilling marriage. Visit journeytous.ca to learn more about this program and to find an event near you.
Thanks for listening to Focus on the Family. Let's resume now with the balance of today's programming.
Leslie, praying with our children is so important. And of course, it's easier when they're younger.
Yeah.
They're into it. You tuck them into bed. You say a blessing over them. And they're getting that. It's really important. I would not ignore the importance of that moment to pray with them about good and evil and all the good things. You know, right. I remember Trent having bad dreams. I mean, really evil-ish dreams, you know, demonic kind of activity. And I said, well, here's what you need to do is pray that the blood of Jesus will cover you and protect you each night. He was probably a little older, in that 11, 12 range, though. Yeah. And he would do that. And he felt like pressure on his chest even one night. And I said, that's specifically a time for you to reach out to the Lord and pray to the Lord. And I prayed for him and all those things. But what a good lesson. But the importance of praying with your kids, even when they get a little older.
Oh, absolutely.
They may, on the outside, suggest they're not interested. I've always felt like on the inside they were saying, please,
Oh, yeah. And, you know, again, you're modeling for your kids the habits that you want them to take with them. So even if they're pulling against it, you want to be consistent. You are the mom. You are the dad. You are really responsible for shepherding their heart. And so continuing those habits of praying with your children is really important. And like you said, it's way easier when they're younger. They buy in a lot more. It's simple. You know, we did a lot of things when they were younger. One of the things that we did that actually played through later is we would write down a request in one of those little skinny notebooks, flip things. We would write down a request on a page, and then when God answered it, we'd fold it up. So you saw the notebook kind of go from thin to really expanded because you're folding up all these pages. And so finding little things like that where you can reinforce with them that God is answering prayers, but then also to make that your first reaction to things. Mm-hmm. And it's the little things like finding a parking space or, you know, praying for the family that's involved in the accident as you drive by. And it's the bigger things in teaching them, you know, when you're having these bad dreams, you know, God tells us to cast down imaginations and bring all of our thoughts into what you know about God, and taking those moments to not only point them to pray those scriptures and pray for deliverance from that, but also reminding them, what do you know about God? Because these are really great times to give them things to rehearse when they're struggling. Just what is true? How can they think on those things? Mm-hmm. So you have a lot of opportunity as they get older and they're starting to think more complex thoughts. Yeah. You can really add on to the things that you were doing when they were little to build an even stronger foundation for that faith.
Tricia, let me ask you, you mentioned your foster children. You mm-hmm. have how many bio kids?
We have 3 biological and then 7 adopted.
7 adopted. Mm-hmm. You know, Jean and I did foster care for years, and that's, to me, that is hyper parenting for all the right
Absolutely.
Reasons. I mean, if you go into that as a kind of moderate parent or a mediocre parent, you will become a much better parent through that. In fact, the parental training that they do is typically really strong. I was thinking every hospital should have parents go through like a parenting program that you end up going through for foster, right?
Right.
Because it's just such good stuff. And I just want to say thank you and admire the fact that there's no normal on those boxes mm. when you're in foster care and you agree to do that. It's head knocking, food hoarding, sexual identity issues. Yes. I'm going, where's the normal box? I just want a normal kid to help out. That's typically not what you're going to find because they've been through such emotional trauma that they're coming with baggage. Mm-hmm. And it takes really good talent as a parent to unpack that and help that child have a better sense of who they are and identity, and no better place to do that than in the Word and introducing them to the Lord, right? But yeah. just speak to that difficulty and what you found is rewarding in that environment.
Well, I think, and sometimes we think, well, okay, this is our chance to mold them, especially when they're preteens. And I feel like when they come from foster care, especially older kids, you know, ours were preteens yeah. and teens, their mold was already set. And so you're kind of like chipping away. And there's so many times I thought, this is not even working. They would argue with me. They would say, this is stupid. I don't want to read God's word. And I was supposed to just say, just listen. You don't even have to respond. Just I'm just going to read to everybody during homeschool. We're going to pray. They're like rolling their eyes as we're praying. We're going to go serve together. They did like serving other people. So that's, you know, that was a good thing. Yeah. Conversations just were listening. What I saw was those little things really made a big difference mm-hmm. in the long run. Yeah. And so now 2 of our daughters are actually serving with a ministry that Leslie and David are part of in Poland right now.
Oh, wow.
And if someone would have told me, in fact, one of my daughters, who's 22, she says, Mom, if someone would have said when I was 16 that 6 years from now you'll be teaching children about God and ministering in Poland, because I wouldn't have believed him. I'm like, girl, me neither. I would have not. She would argue with me. She would not want to listen to God's word. We took kids to church in pajamas before because I'm like, just get in the car. They weren't getting dressed. I'm like, fine, however you are. And they would walk in wow. in robes. And it really made me think about, as parents, we want to look good.
Yeah.
We want all the kids lined up and we want their great attitudes, and we're dragging in kids in pajamas, in slippers, their hair's done, they're rolling their eyes, they're falling asleep in church. I realize it's not about me. It's not what other people think about me.
Yeah.
We had kids climbing under at Chick-fil-A, the table to eat some fries that someone dropped because they just came, that yeah. I need that food. I see yeah. a French fry. I mean, all the things, it's like, I would apologize at first. I'm so sorry. They're in foster care. We just got right. them. And God's like, you know, not audible, but whispered, stop apologizing. Just love them. Because you don't want them to hear, this is my foster child. This is my adopted child. This right. is my child. We're working on this. We're yeah. working on this.
Yeah.
But it really made, it humbled me. It made me realize it's not about me. And those simple little things done over and over made an impact where I never would have believed it. There's times John and I just laid in bed talking, like, is this even going to work out? Are these kids yeah. going to have, like, if they can get a job and support themselves, we'll be winning and love God. I mean, that's the ultimate goal.
Sure.
But now to see where they've come and how, and we're still in the process. We have three at home still. And I'm still like, okay, I don't know about these ones.
Well,
but,
God yeah. bless you for doing that. Yeah. I mean, I just so admire the fact that you stepped up. You did the adoption. I mean, that's something, John, you and Dean have done that. So well done. Way to do it. And those kids will never be the same. And they'll be far better off than where they were at.
Well, that's how we concluded our conversation with Tricia Goyer and Leslie Nunnery on today's episode of Focus on the Family with Jim Daly. I'm John Fuller, and Jim, I think we got some great ideas about parenting preteens from our guest today.
Absolutely, we did. And here's the message for moms and dads. Buckle up. This is an exciting time for you and your family, and we want to equip you to parent those kids well. And we've got this great book from Tricia and Leslie, Faith That Sticks, Five Real Ways to Disciple Your Preteen, and you can get your copy directly from us here at Focus on the Family Canada. And when you do, those proceeds go right back into helping other families across Canada. We've also got our age and stage resources where you sign up the ages of your kids and you'll get weekly emails on how to effectively parent them.
Well, that's right, and you can sign up for the free Age and Stage e-newsletter and order your copy of Faith That Sticks when you call 800-232-6459. That's 800, the letter A and the word family, or stop by focusonthefamily.ca.
And let me add, we've mentioned this a few times here in August as we close our fiscal year. The summer months tend to be a bit lean financially, and we could really use your support right now as we end that budget year. Our research shows that only 1% of the listeners and viewers of the program have donated to the ministry. And thanks to your generosity for that 1%, we've been able to impact more than 660,000 parents with resources and practical help for their kids. But there's so much more we could do together, and I want to invite you to help us move that needle up to 2 or 3% or even more. Please consider a generous gift. A one-time gift is great, or you can sign up monthly. But help us help others. Let's do this for the kingdom of Christ.
Yeah, your donation today can be made over the phone, 800, the letter A in the word family. That's 800-232-6459. Or it's pretty easy to donate online at focusonthefamily.ca. Well, coming up tomorrow, a really powerful testimony from Sheila Walsh.
He said, Sheila, the shepherd knows where to find you. And that one moment began the most amazing adventure of my life, of discovering the love of God is never based on our performance. It is based on the finished work of Christ.
Thanks for listening to Focus on the Family with Jim Daly. I'm John Fuller, inviting you back next time as we once again help you and your family thrive in Christ.